Warning, the following content contains sounds. It has been shown that some sapiens of the Homo have episodic memory towards some sounds, therefore forming a bad reaction to certain sounds. Nevertheless, the sounds we use are only to mock actions and notions, which are, of course, ridiculous. We are not mocking the people who have them. No. Because you know in time, you may change what you do and change what you think. Having said that, this is Correlation Sensation, a show where I talk about your mother's mammalian protuberances. Yes. They come in all sorts of shapes, colors and textures and smells. But of course, we will proceed to something more important.
Welcome to Correlation Sensation. This is episode 26. You better strap on your seatbelts, kiddies, because the space is I just threw a quirk. That's okay. Why you sound just like me? I don't know. Why you sound just like me?
Well. Back for episode number 26. You filthy sapiens of the homos. Anywho, what you up to today? Tell me, I'm listening, even though I cannot possibly do so. Ah, yeah? Yeah, you're doing that? Oh, that's good for you, over there. Oh, yeah, you do that, yeah. Yeah, see how sincere I am. That's why, for the benefit of your entire species, you better vote Gork 2020 for United States President.
Bleh.
See how real I am and cut loose? Shoot from the throat. Boom. Now drop it like it's hot. If I have to toot, you will know. If I have to belch, you will know too. If I have to pick my nose, pick my ear, or pick my buttholes. Yes, I have to. You will know. I will not pretend that I don't scratch my meninges. I will not pretend that I don't clip my toenails and try to aim them at the various different areas. Sometimes in the faces of some sapiens of the homos. Nevertheless, I am here for you, even if you don't vote for me. But I will not let you know what terrible, naughty things will happen if you don't vote for me, Gork 2020. Now we got that out of the way, it's time to cover something serious. President of the United States, that is my most serious goal here. But, we'll continue onward, hobags, for Erisistratus. Yes. Let me call none other than a void. Where is his name here? Got his order. There he is, right there. We're gonna ring a ding ding do. Howdy doody.
How's it going, guys?
I don't know. I'm gonna try to call John Papanito. Okay?
Oh, okay.
One second.
Hello.
This is John Papanito's phone.
Wait, John Papanito's phone can talk?
Yes.
Where is Johnny Papanito?
He's in the shower.
Oh, man.
I'll let him know that you called.
Okay.
All right.
Hello, Floyd.
Yes, Skark.
John Papanito's phone spoke to me.
Oh, what did it say? Was it her? Please call again?
No, the phone said he's in the shower.
Oh, okay.
It's very suspicious because he must have some top-of-the-line technology, but it sounded a lot like a female sapien of the Homo.
Some people have a busy thing and they can have preset words to say.
It was pretty articulate and responded to me, though.
Okay. The voices get pretty real.
Oh.
Not as real as voices in my head.
So, we're covering Iris Stratus today.
Yes.
Did you do some research?
Somewhat.
Oh, yeah? That's cool.
Yes.
I spent over 7 hours reading about this dude.
Oh, cool.
My source one, encyclopedia.com, said Iris Stratus was born 304 BCE. While source number two said it was 325 BCE.
Excuse you.
Excuse you? What did I do?
You bounced.
What's wrong with that?
I don't know.
It's up to me to be completely transparent as a presidential candidate. I got to let them know when I have a bowel movements and everything else.
Oh, right.
That's how you know you have someone who's telling you the truth. That's why everybody will get a government-issued bathtub. Never mind the implants, and never mind the connection or the hammer used to knock you out. We are not going to suck out your brains. We're not gonna use you for anything other than helping you, yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so, after Herophilus' birth, some say it was 11 years after. But, if everything is true, regarding source number two, it would have been 10 years before Herophilus was born. Iris Stratus was born. Yes, Iris Stratus works alongside Herophilus. But before we get to that shit, we're gonna talk about a little bit of his background, huh?
Yes.
Do you know where Iris Stratus was born?
It was some island that, I can't remember what it was, a modern day Middle Eastern country, but it was somewhere.
Yes, Kos.
Kos, yes. It was part of Rome? Yes, or no?
You know what? I actually didn't do the background of this geographical location.
I think we would at one time, but I remember it was formerly of some sort of empire, now part of modern day Saudi Arabia, maybe?
So it's a melting pot of cultures.
Exactly. Was it expanded by Alexander the Great?
I didn't look that part up either. Thank you for making me look a lot foolish.
Sorry, sometimes all these guys, because I remember one guy was a teacher of him, Alexander the Great.
Aristotle,
yes.
That bastard. How dare you mention him?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you should be, you son of a bitch. That guy, I can't tell you how many hours I read his gobbledygook.
Oh, yes.
So, it is said that Iris Stratus' family was one that had a lot of medical physicians hanging around. For instance, his paternal parent, named Cleombrotus, was a physician. While his mother, Creotoxin, is said to have been the sister of the one sapien of the Homo named Midios, whom happens to have been a doctor too. Whoa. Yeah, not only this, but the narrative surrounding Erisistratus indicates that he had a brother named Cleophantus, who also was a doctor.
Oh, wow. Whole family had doctors. Oh, their family was really proud.
Yes, with the humors in the Numa. So this is a lot more scrumptious morsels of data regarding the lineage of Erisistratus than we could have ever imagined from Herophilus' data. The story of this dude continues to indicate that he initially studied underneath the one named Metrodorus of Athens. Metrodorus was the third husband of Aristotle's daughter, Pythias. Remember Pythias?
Yes.
Same name as her own mother.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
Taking after her father, she had multiple spouses, too.
Oh, wow.
She's a dirty, dirty one. She had at least three different meat pools inside of her.
Oh, wow.
Shooting, man milk.
Fine. With did she have kids?
I didn't go into that detail. Let's just say I've been a little lazy lately. Yeah, not much detail, huh? You want to know about the families? You go look up, yeah. The stories about Erisistratus. You okay there, Void?
Yes, just listening.
You're not taken back by my tone?
No, you sound great.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, the singer of Scapegoat said I'm very somber.
Yes.
Whatever that means. So, the reason why Metrodorus' connection to Aristotle's mumbo-lumbo was even made was because it said that Erisistratus spent some time writing about peripatetic thought.
Wow. I didn't catch that last word. The speaker kind of popped. So can you repeat it?
Peripatetic thought?
Yes. The pop and the P made it kind of hard to hear what you said.
The pop and the P. You got the P in your pop. You got to drink that up and you just can't stop.
Yep.
Ooh, don't be good words for a song. Oh, baby, you got the pee in your pop. Because if you do not do that, you know your heart gonna stop. Brought to you by a Trump administration. In order to avoid any more infections, you must urinate in your pop and drink it up.
I think ammonia is bad for yourself.
No. Give yourself some of that ammonia. It'll make you moan for the ammonia. That's why they named it ammonia.
I think they use ammonia to bomb for dead bodies, so I don't think that's good for living bodies.
Oh, no. Don't tell them that. Just say it's a good thing, yeah.
What?
You know, the bleach didn't work. It started killing people, so, try the ammonia. It's less caustic. Yeah.
Gork, have you been watching the internet porn again?
I've been watching Fox News. Oh, shit, I shouldn't have said that. Captain Grouch Gobbler gonna kill me.
You can watch it if you have a critical lens, because they kind of say a lot of goofy shit.
Yeah. What's that dude who looked like he had surgery to look like a Ken Barbie doll and looked like he used the same stuff to coat his skin as the Trump man? What's that dude? He got the Barbie doll hair.
Oh, Shepard Smith?
I don't know. I don't know his name.
Does he always have a big, huge screen behind him and people on big, huge tablet screens behind him?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Shepard Smith. He speaks a little bit of okay knowledge because he's kind of not as crazy as other people. But, yes, what about him?
Nothing, I just been watching.
Oh, okay.
I usually put on headphones and listen to music and then watch them.
Oh.
Yeah, it make more sense. Especially if you put freeform jazz, Something with a bunch of instruments going all over the place.
With the vibraphone?
Yeah. You got to have a vibraphone.
Wow, 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 wow. That's the metal one that you can reverberate with the foot pedal, and it has a motor in it that spins a little, like, you know, a flap for, like, an engine, like, that does the, like, the exhaust that flips open. It has one of those, but it revolves around inside the pipe, so it goes wow, 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 wow. Like that, like your dildo.
Did you just tell everybody what I have?
No, no, that was your phone.
Yeah, let me see what's going on here. Maybe it is a John Papanito, you know? Oh, yes. No, it's my game. What they said.
Oh.
My game said we captured Colotus from this one dude. Okay, cool. I've been conquering the world. Been practicing my presidential skills by playing Supremacy 1914. It's very up to date. Void?
Yes?
Do you have any other games? These freemium games, you know, to help me learn how to, you know, control and conquer.
I think there's actually a Risk one that's literally actually Risk.
Well, this one is better than Risk. You will get to level... This sounds kind of like an ad, but it's not. They pay me nothing. And as a matter of fact, do not play this game. No, because it's so fun. And there's already so many buttholes. You have any more in there, there's going to be a lot of shit going down. Yeah, you get to build infrastructure. You get to build different machines. Even a rail gun. Ugh, what a big mistake that was. That was very costly and not so useful.
The fact is, rail guns are impractical because they have to be so big. It takes so much energy to fire a metal rod.
Yeah, you so, fuck up once, you fuck up big time.
Yeah, they fire a hot cylinder of steel into concrete. It can go supersonic fast, but the chute and the gun has to be like football fields long for it to be even practical.
Yeah.
And they don't really move it. It's more of a straight thing, and they put things in front of it.
Yeah.
A guy created his own that fires metal launchers, and it has a thing of magnets and electrodes that fires out. It maybe shoots the equivalent of a BB gun, maybe?
Yeah, but the rail gun, well, the more modern one, is an electromagnetic one.
Yes.
And that one, ooh, you better watch out.
Exactly.
Still really primitive.
Yep.
Where was I? Oh yeah, poor Erisistratus getting the, you know, mutated lineage of Aristotle's contagion and a philosophical mindset. We got the 14 years of age, Erisistratus is said to have postulated to have been back in course attending medical school. But if you follow source number 2's date of 325 BCE, that's a whole 11 years later when he's 25. So he was either 14 or 25. No gap there.
It's crazy. I guess it's longer time ago. Years of exact dates really kind of are a moving target, so they don't know exactly.
Well, plus all his writings were burnt down just like Herophilus. And guess who taught Erisistratus in course? Yes. Void?
Yes.
You gonna guess?
I don't know.
Let me tell you. Oh, sorry.
Yes.
We keep on speaking at the same time. My apologies. One a second. Oh, John Papanito. John Papanito, guess what you do?
John Papanito, you call him, or he was busy touching his balls.
Hi, John Papanito.
Hey, it's you. It's a Gork. And a boy that I see here, John Papanito, he's here. They're talking to him.
Yeah.
Never see him.
No, you don't see us. But you will sooner or later.
It's creepy. So what kind of John Papa Nilo, what can he do for you?
You want to talk about your sisteresses?
John Papa Nilo, he's too tired to think straight and talk about this guy. This guy was a doctor, and his family was a bunch of doctors too, which means he cheated. He used his family network to get courses, and then he cut him off to look inside.
Sounds like someone jealous.
I want to cut off people and look inside too.
Oh, you can. Once we come back together, we can go back to Void, where he live right by hospital. We get the free bodies.
They just roll him out the door, cause the Corona, your old roommate, she a busy killing everybody, and they roll him out the door.
Yeah. I have this thing where I call him a bitch cause he doesn't kill enough.
Oh, yeah. The Corona, he are not kill very many people. He only make 30% of the people in the world sicker. And then only 2 or 3% of the people get a dead die. So that's not a whole lot of people. He a pussy.
Yeah, he pussy. He not like a bubonic plague.
Yeah, he not kill good people. He kill the great people. That's all I know.
Yeah.
Okay.
You have a good one.
John Papa Nilo, he gonna go take a nap.
Okay, nappy poo.
Enjoy.
Bye. Well, damn. Well, that's that with the John Papanito.
Yes, at least he checked in.
Yeah. So let's go into this, huh?
Yes.
Who taught? I'll give you a hint. Who taught Erisistratus when he went back to Kos? He also taught Hero Phyllis.
Socrates?
It starts with a P.
Oh, Plato.
No, Plato already dead.
Oh, okay. Yes, I was...
Praxagoras.
Oh, Goras. Gotcha, I remember his name.
Yeah. So, when he was in Kos, a connection between Erisistratus and none other than Chrysippus the Younger. Yeah, he made connections with him. And Chrysippus the Younger was known for being the doctor of the palace where none other than Ptolemy Philadelphus reigned. So that dude, yeah. This is how Erisistratus got in good with King Ptolemy.
And he was Ptolemy.
Yeah. So he was
he one of his advisors?
No, he was a researcher who was afforded the opportunity to study in the Museum of Alexandria, where he then... this is where he is said to have performed dissections, while some of the academic community postulate that he performed vivisections too. But the information on that is sparse. Yeah, the reason why I'm focusing on this individual is due to the large number of works regarding to the anatomy and abdominal pathology and fevers and gout and hemoptysis and dropsy and the most noble pursuit of all, Void, hygiene. You hear me?
Yeah, so that was the research he did for him?
Yeah, well, that's what the Erisistratus did. I said the most noble pursuit of all is hygiene. You've been taking baths, showers.
Oh, yes. School. Yes.
Make sure you get all the cracks.
And crevices.
Yeah, one time I forgot to get my big back crack. That thing, it stunk up all day.
Oh.
Not good. So, much like Hero Phyllis, and much like I've already said, none of his works had survived. How do we know about this individual? How do we know if it's true? Well, we have a multiple sapiens of the Homo who have referenced them and quoted them and all that kind of stuff. So it's like that communication, that telephone game.
Oh.
Even in Erisistratus' works could have been falsified. You never know. So, Erasistratus is assumed to have built off his predecessors, Diocles and Praxagoras, regarding their work, mainly in anatomy and on physiological studies. And along with Diocles and Praxagoras, Erasistratus is believed to have been taught by Chrysippus the Younger and Herophilus. Meanwhile, it's emphasized that the Museum of Alexandria provided ample conditions for his lovely research while he chopped, sliced, diced, peeled back, squished, ripped out various parts of the human body in order to have artistic renditions on the paperwork to show people what's going on. This is exactly where he worked with Herophilus, and this is exactly why there are cartoon renditions that depict Herophilus and Erasistratus pointing at something and talking. Remember that picture?
Yes.
It's a good one.
Didn't you post it yesterday?
I posted it on Friday.
Oh, okay.
Did you listen?
Sorry, oh, yeah.
You like the beginning of that one?
Yeah, that was a good one.
You like that, huh? I like that, too. Just that I had to make fun of all of it, because it's all crazy.
Yes.
It was all in good fun. Do you disagree?
No.
You sure?
Yes.
If you disagree, we can talk about it. Maybe some of the listeners disagree, too.
I don't know.
Oh, it's coming out. The truth is finally coming out. Tell me more.
What do you mean?
Why, you disagree, it's all in good fun.
No, I don't disagree.
Oh, I don't know. You don't sound too enthusiastic about my artistic, humor.
I don't know.
Oh, you don't know. Oh, you're trying to lie. I can tell.
No, not.
Come on, Void. Pour it out. Big Papa Gork is here to help.
Let's keep going. I'm just saying something.
What? I'm sorry. Oh. I didn't mean to cut you off. Some people what?
Some people may not like what you say. Some people may like what you say.
Well, yeah, ain't that the truth?
Yes. Okay. Let's keep going. How about Erasistratus?
Okay. Encyclopedia.com. Source number one. Put out into the open the idea that the mummification was culturally accepted in Egypt, which is why during the Ptolemy governing family allowed dissections for public display, and possibly vivisections. I think this is a very valuable point, Void. Three humans who had their works preserved for historical record named Celsus, Tertullian, and St. Augustine are indicated as accusing Erasistratus of vivisecting humans, deemed as criminals, just like Herophilus.
Oh.
Yes, and Source 1 also conveyed that this is something where many humans argue this idea. I wouldn't be surprised. Humans have had a long history of several forms of torture for public spectacles to maintain fear.
Their museums dedicate to it.
Yes. Because many governments use fear. Fear for those who disagree. By torture, making people disappear, taking people's words out of context and making them look terrible.
Yes.
That reminds me. Vote for Gork 2020. Best president ever. Make America great finally.
Yes.
We should make hats. Big orange hats. What?
I thought I gotta make them brown because everyone's got a shithead.
Oh, I was gonna say yellow or orange because it looked like the hunting vests, but I like the idea of making it the brown.
Yes.
We could try to find out how to get the poop emoji on there too.
I think that's copyrighted.
Oh, we'll make our own. It'll be like an angry, jagged tooth poop. You know what I mean? With the frowny eyeballs and a mouth that's all wiggly with like some tooth sticking out here and one over there. Doesn't really make much sense. And then we have the
my
M.
Nose.
What?
I think you know someone that could draw it, too.
Oh, yeah, that dude, Yoshio Pijue, who did our artwork. Shout out to Yoshio Pijue. He's a great. Yeah, and we'll have a big, bright, red letters. M-A-G-F. Yes. Ooh, that would be a good line. I bet you we can make a bunch of money.
Oh.
To fund a campaign. Whoa. So, back to real topic. Not only did these three people portray Erisistratus as a tool for both torture and furthering knowledge regarding anatomy, Galen is said to have painted the picture of Erisistratus as performing these vivisection experiments on animals other than humans. There are no publicly known documents of Galen specifying vivisections on the animal species Sapien of the Homo. But I urge the listener to know that the absence of evidence is not evidence of absence. Right, Void?
Yes. Hold on. Burke, my tummy is a rumbling. I may have to go use the restroom.
Whoa. You want me to pause and we go back? You
yes,
can call
no
me back.
Hurry.
Okay, I'll just start the recording right here. Well, here he is. Should I answer or should I not? Okay. Hello?
Hi.
Wait one moment.
Strange.
What'd you say?
Trying to get my phone to... Hold on. Jory, it is acting really strange, really strange.
Is it the song you're working on?
Yes.
Sorry, it's acting really strange, really strange. Sounds kind of like Queen, you know?
Yes.
Galileo, Galileo, something strange, don't you know? It's my phone, 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 phone.
Okay, hold on.
Gotta pee, gotta pee, and do a number two on the phone. Did I throw you off?
No, it was good. Okay, where were we back to? Erisistratus?
Erisistratus. Damn.
Oh.
Jeez. God. Oh. So, you have a nice poop?
Yes, it was very productive.
Was it solid?
Yes.
Did it sneak away into the hole before you could look?
I waved bye-bye.
I had one of those the other day. Ghost poop.
Ghost poop?
Yeah.
Was it like a little Butterfinger BB?
I couldn't look at it. I mean, because it snuck away, but it was big. It felt like it just slid right out of me like a snake. And I looked in the toilet bowl. Nothing there. And I wiped. Nah, I did two strokes. Two stroke. Never in my life. Two stroke. No poop.
Oh, wow.
Magical. I want to know exact what.
When you eat healthy, it doesn't make much of a mess.
Well, apparently, damn. That's why I don't eat corn.
Oh.
Every time I eat corn, shotgun.
It's like a gravel launcher, huh?
Yeah. You could poke someone's eye out if you don't aim that thing properly. Now, where was I? Before I was interrupted by your bowel movement.
Yeah, sorry to be rude, but I was trying to hold it to be polite, but it was an emergency.
I understand. Code Brown.
Exactly.
So, I said, no. Evidence is not evidence of nothing. Oh, yeah. Galen said that the act of his vivisection on animals other than the humans is how Erisistratus was able to make parallels between the resulting reactions from his experimentations while he tortured animals other than humans. He paired this with the anatomical information on the humans from his dissection. I could see this. You know. I could see that. One example of this is how the convolutions of the brains vary depending upon species and individuals. But he's trying to say, you know, when you have a hair, and not the hair you have on your head, but the animal hair, its brain is not nearly as convoluted as a horse.
I saw a hare and also a stray kitty cat, but it was big enough that I knew it had a mama. So that was good. So I knew it wasn't alone.
Yeah. And also, he noted that the convolutions went up, and there's even more convolutions in the brain of a man than any other species. He said, oh, this is how you could tell you have intellectual, is the more wrinkles you have in your brain. The more wrinkly, the more intelligent.
Yes, that's why they say walnuts have a correlation situation to better brain function because of the wrinkles.
I think they also have a vitamins or minerals or something. Kind of like pecans.
Ah, or almonds.
Well, they are heavy in fat, too, and a lot of those fats are beneficial to brain function.
Yes. Because you know what happens when sometimes fighters can get other forms of brain damage by dehydrating themselves because their brain actually loses moisture first when they're trying to cut for better weight and all that stuff. So it can really mess with some of their functions, and maybe sometimes why you see a fighter get exhausted or exert too much is because of the lack of dehydration of the brain.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that and, I mean, getting hit in the head multiple times a year is a common thing called, you know, CTE.
Yes. You know. Also, why some football players, unfortunately, have mental conditions and become kind of a little crazy. Unfortunately, that has a lot to do with different sports of fighting, boxing and wrestling and other things from head injuries cause anger management problems. But not everyone, only some certain cases.
Yes, chronic traumatic encephalopathy.
Yes.
Which is something that had nothing to do with Erisistratus. Back to topic.
Sorry.
But I went with you.
Okay.
So, this assertion that the more higher you are in intelligence, that your wrinkles will appear more in your brain, was dismissed later on when people started cutting up multiple different animals. If I'm not mistaken, I think Galen had actually dismissed this because of a donkey's brain had more wrinkles in it than a human's. But that's a whole nother sapien of the homo we will cover later on. Now, where was I?
I don't know.
Along with these pairing and parallels between his vivisections on multiple species, along with his anatomical dissections on humans, Erisistratus is said to have also studied the corollaries of different deviations in the different anatomical structures depending upon the way they died. Like you said when we first started talking about Herophilus.
Wow.
Let's get into something more interesting, shall we?
Yes.
Rather than just adopting the idea that the pneuma was something transferred by the air we inhale and exhale and by food that we digest through some sort of innate attraction from pneuma to organ, Erisistratus mixed this pneuma theory with the corpuscular one. What? Corpuscular? Yes. Rather than an innate attraction between the organs and the pneuma, Erisistratus had claimed that the pneuma transferred the food through different corpusculars, which are like little tiny cracks between the cells. Isn't that magical? He actually broke down the conceptual continuity of the fact that the blood vessels get smaller and smaller when they get closer to their destinations. So he just assumed, there's definitely little pores that are transferring everything through.
So that was one thing he got correct?
Yeah, in some way, without the Numa, but he was half-assed correct, yes.
Okay, let's keep going.
So, Numa, instead of being something in food, was something produced by your stomach to help break down the food and to help your stomach to rip the food apart. And I don't know about you, Void, but if I pay attention, I can feel my heart beating. If I was breaking down food, I think I'd be able to feel that little chomp chomp choo choo in my stomach.
I know, but it's a little bit microscopic.
Well, the stomach don't do that. You know, hydrochloric acid that breaks down the food. As a matter of fact, if I felt anything in my stomach chewing up the food, I would have immediately went to my destination to assume the various positions that I must take upon the ivory throne of Gork. If you know what I mean, Void. Like you do.
Yeah.
What a coincidence. You had to go poo. I talk about poo. That's what kind of podcast this is. Poo talk. 24/7. If you want this, a poo smear here is where you go. Anything to add on that?
No.
So, this brings me to the topic of I don't know why so many people make up crap about shit they don't know about. Seems like they're trying to feel secure.
Yes.
This is a common trait amongst the sapiens of the Homo Void. When they don't know something, they usually revert back to their correlation sensation. You know, they use their imagination to see different traits that are similar from previous experiences and then apply them as they project their past into their future. And this will disgrace their own of growth. But people do this because assumptions are the reason why so many people survived. Because if they didn't assume to kill a real or an imaginary threat before they were killed by that threat, then they would not have survived. 1 second here, AC turned on. I think it might ruin everything. So, they start making these assumptions based off similar traits even Erasistratus did, and so did Hippocrates. You know, like the pumping. Some people assume that, oh, look at this. Oh, this must work like this. And look at this organ over here. It's very similar. It's hollow, just like the heart. It must pump something, like pneuma through the brain. Yeah, that's what Hippocrates thought. And Erasistratus did this himself. So, it was either this, with Erasistratus assuming so much of so little, or it was Ptolemy saying, hey, you better hurry this shit up. I know we don't really have this stigma here right now, but all these nations giving us crap for cutting open all these people that we call criminals in the public, and they're saying we're freeing all these souls, and why would you do that? So you better hurry up. I could also imagine that too. He wants results. So I don't care if you don't know how something functions. Just make something up for now so we can tidy it up and your name will be preserved. I imagine that too.
Yes.
But unlike many sapiens of the Homo, at least I know that this was just an imaginary narrative. Even though it's the most accurate depiction one could possibly have come up in history. Right, Void?
Yes.
Damn Skippy.
Skippy Jabba.
Yeah. So, alterations based on findings of Erasistratus led him to disagree with a plethora of his predecessors. For instance, Diocles is said to have believed that fermentation is how the body breaks down food. I don't know about you, Void, but I know my lower gut most definitely ferments shit.
Yes.
Erasistratus is said to have also disagreed with Aristotle. Aristotle claimed that digestion was just like cooking food. So, Erisistratus is thought to have logically disagreed with that copious load of ridiculousness from Aristotle once again. I can't wait till we stop reading about that mumbo-lumbo.
Even this
Numa crap.
Yes.
So, although Erisistratus realized that your epiglottis closed while you swallowed, he denied the possibility of drink going down your trachea into your lungs. Perhaps he just scoffed at the idea of anyone that would possibly try to inhale while they drank some water or anything else, or even eat foods. Pah! Sounds preposterous, huh, Void? Oh, he went down the wrong pipe. You like that one?
Fuck. Yeah.
That was a good one.
Yes.
How does the sapien of the Homo come up onto our intergalactic radar, Void? This will soon come up. But for now, focus specifically on the genre within the genre of anatomy, which is within the category of science, known as your circulatory anatomy. Whoa. This is said to be Erisistratus's strong suit here. And like Hippocrates, Erisistratus is said to have used the description of a blacksmith's bellow for the function of an organ. But unlike Hippocrates, Erisistratus applies this concept of the bellow because the heart is hollow, rather than the brain like Hippocrates. Even though the brain has cavities, much like the heart. But the brain's walls are so thick, and the sturdiness of the cells in the brain are nothing compared to that of muscles, specifically the heart one.
Which are very strong.
Yes, indeed they do. Although Erisistratus is known for the advances in circulatory system by means of anatomy, Herophilus was more correct in regards of the dilation of the arteries. Erisistratus indicated that the arteries were passively dilated by pneuma, where Herophilus deduced that the thicker walls indicated that the arteries had the ability and sturdiness for elasticity to be able to dilate and contract in synchrony with the heart, which is true. But yes. I don't know about this topic. I didn't do any research. So I don't want to touch it anymore. Void, if you want, you can research it. Then I can edit your answer out so I can say it. And then I'll look like the one who knows.
I don't know.
Oh, you don't want to? Okay. So, pneuma was the nonsensical postulation substance to be held within the arteries by Erisistratus. What? Although a person's heart has no evidence of this imaginary pneuma, other than blood which passes through with no signs of clear filtration or separation between the arteries, veins, and the heart. And just because Erisistratus was correct by continuing the systematic trend of the circulatory system like I mentioned earlier, with the tiny holes, or passageways, if you will, for various substances to be passed through and distributed to the whole body. Just like branches of a river. What?
Oh, I was stretching.
Just like a branches of a river, which distributes water to various different little areas. And out, when you look above head from a satellite picture, it would look similar to like how blood vessels are.
I was just about thinking that.
Even roots. Roots do the same thing. And tree branches, if you will. Very similar. So, even though Erisistratus correctly assumed, based on this obvious observation one could make throughout reality, he was not correct about arteries at all. And it even indicated that Erisistratus noted that blood came out of arteries when they were cut. But in order to confirm his bias and pretend that he knew what he was talking about, like most humans, he did the delusional thing. He made up something. Oh, the pneuma. Pneuma must make a vacuum which sucks out the blood and makes the blood come out of the arteries when they're cut. Yeah, that's what it is, right? Yeah. Pneuma is the moving force, the magical almighty spirits of the animals flowing through you.
Yes.
This is just another part in history which shows why you must always question your authorities in any field, no matter what field you read up on. There's one sign that is indicative of this moment, is when you have many people disagreeing amongst one topic and what it means, specifically the subatomic realm. Then another one is many people will believe it for a long time without much evidence at all. But eventually will come to their senses when it's been so long and the retardation has happened all throughout your knowledge on science. Thank you, human mind and assumptions. Thank you once again for slowing your species down to make it harder to talk to you.
Wow.
Back to topic. So, much like essential vitamins and what have you, Numa was said to not be innate in the body by Erasistratus, unlike his predecessors. The Numa was drawn in by the act of breathing. Then how did people initially start to breathe the Numa in if they didn't have enough Numa at all when they were first born, Void? Tell me.
Tell you what?
Tell me how. How did the people have enough Numa to start breathing in the Numa when they were first born?
Maybe slept up behind, or doctor.
Maybe.
Or they shared it with the mother before they were born.
Oh, like the mom's umbilical cord transferred Numa just enough so they can start inhaling more Numa?
Yes.
Oh, looks like we're doing exactly what Erasistratus did, making up crap.
Yes.
So, by the lungs, their connection to the circulatory system, Numa found its way into the bloodstream, which transforms when it gets to the brain. There's no evidence that Erasistratus knew of the blood-brain barrier, but that's kind of similar. So, psychic Numa is what Numa becomes when it reaches the brain void.
Oh, wow.
And Erasistratus is noted for saying that you need to have the correct density to not be released by the body through the pores of the skin. Once the Numa is broken down and used up enough, it will become so small, it passes through the corpuscular nature of our bodies and exits the skin, instead of being exited through exhalation. Another thing Erasistratus was wrong about, because if anything you inhale, if be Numa, is things such as carbon dioxide, oxygen, nitrogen, whatever.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I think CO2 is a little bit larger than oxygen because, you know, it's oxygen with a carbon attached to it, damn it. So you're wrong about that too. Erasistratus also got wrong with the liver. Erasistratus wrongfully assumed that the blood was made by your liver. Much like the Ayurvedic system of Hindu medicine, Alchemion of Crouton, Hippocrates and Herophilus, Erasistratus did believe one thing that's primarily correct. The mind is mainly within the brain. Although parts of this central nervous system become peripheral nervous. Are you okay?
Yeah, I was just yawning and adjusting. I was about to say that it's rumored that we have something that is almost like a second brain, but it sort of is the nervous system running gauges and running like too hot, too cold, that changes the things that are automatically run.
Yes, the coexistence between your nerves and your gut via your vagal nerve or vagus nerve, depending on who you talk to, is said to be your second brain. And also you have nerves that are all throughout your body, which also have memory from the previous experiences they've gone through. So, your mind is all throughout your body, or anywhere where a nerve is. But primarily, the processing center is in the brain, and partially spinal cord, which is also part of your central nervous system, if you didn't know.
Yes.
Have you heard about these scientists who get these worms? These really simple-minded worms, addicted to drugs. Then they cut off their brain. When their brain grows back, they start picking up where they left off.
Oh, because the body tells it. The brain what to do because the body's still telling the need of the drugs, right? Because the body is craving it, right?
Well, imagine so. I mean, you have epigenetics, and plus you have the, you know, the nerves that were not cut off, and all that information that you would require to regrow the brain would be like, hey, you know, we're doing this right now, buddy.
Yes.
Yes, snort up another line, warmy boo.
Yes, what drug was it that they were?
I believe it was cocaine.
Oh.
Shout out to Mad Scientist Podcast. I know we don't agree all the time, but, yeah, he had this scientist talking about it.
Yeah, this is a long history of drugs being used for not just recreational, but testing and other things.
Yes. Drugs are the way that the sapiens of the Homo still treat diseases. Pathetic.
Yes.
Since Erasistratus and Herophilus both believed that more convolutions meant more development of your intellect, they assumed that the cerebellum, more wrinkly than the cerebrum, was the center. So not only the ventricle that was the most largest and most connected to the spinal cord, which is obvious where your brain connects to the rest of the body, the cerebellum, the connection in the wrinkles, is where all the soul resides in the most awesomeness way, according to Erasistratus and Herophilus. But they're full of shit, so. But on another note, Erasistratus did not believe in the normal humor system. He didn't even mention black bile, at least according to what we know, which isn't much, so we really don't know much. Erasistratus, it's believed that apoplexy was caused by too much cold, viscous, and glutinous humors being secreted from the brain, which prevent the great, holy, almighty psychic pneuma traveling through their destination in the nervous system of insanity. So, if one does a quick groping of Googly Tits' search bar and looks up apoplexy, one will find that it is something of being incapacitated by either a stroke or a hemorrhage, which is kind of ironic since Erasistratus is known for circulatory system. One thing I really do enjoy is that, other than expressing that hygiene is of the utmost important thing in reality void, the idea that he only performed phlebotomy rarely and wanted to have a holistic approach upon health is what I like. By holistic, I mean the idea of preventing the development of ailments by living a clean life, literally, with a good diet, which is still argued amongst people today, but is obviously dependent upon the individuals consuming the food, and exercise program with a good old-fashioned vapor bath. Vapor bath, Void.
What's that?
Like a Greek bathhouse, you know, the steam sauna.
Oh, yes. It helps the board probably remove said toxins, but that only a idea or theory, because our body naturally gets rid of toxins through the liver and all that kind of stuff. So.
Well, also it mimics the act of cardiovascular workouts.
Yes.
So helps your circulatory system out, which is true. And they found that heat shock proteins, cytokines, anti-inflammatory properties for your immune system occurs when you have some 20 or so minutes of a nice sauna. But you got to make sure you get all your minerals and water in. Also, yes. On a fairly offshoot related note, these bathhouses were known to be just like what the YMCA was known for in the 90s. Lots of, you know, yes. Hoo-hoo and the boo-boo. Make the heart butt pound. According to John Papanito.
Yes.
So, although Erasistratus is known for starting his own school, there's no publicly known evidence for any successors of Erasistratus to contribute to science. Much like Herophilus, All his works that we know of are publicly gone, banished, because the testicles of time. And Erasistratus is said to have committed suicide by drinking hemlock because he was in so much agony from an ulcer on his foot. Oh. Source 2 says Erasistratus died in 250 BCE. According to Source 2, that would make him around the age of 75. Whoa, 75 Earth revolutions, Void. He lived a long time. Void?
Yes. That's a long time for back then.
So, Erasistratus is also known for agreeing with Herophilus. Basically, as like a yes man, if you will. Someone who concurs with Herophilus. Yes, there are deviations between the sensory and the motor neurons. What were you saying, Void?
Well, I was going to say, did he do that to further his own gain?
No, because it shows that Erasistratus was willing to disagree with a large number of people in a lot of different dogmatic things, you know, specifically the humor system.
Oh, okay.
In the pneuma. It's also indicated that the corpuscular theory was something derived from the third head of Lycium, which was the school that Aristotle started. But Aristotle did not believe in corpuscular theory, but the third head did. And he had a connection with none other than Erasistratus. So, one could easily assume that he got this idea from that guy. Washington.edu wanted to note on their timeline for the history of neuroscience that Erasistratus is known for dividing the brain between the cerebellum and the cerebrum. That is all I found from source number 2 when I tried to find out what parts he was talking about. Unfortunately, he did not split the brain up with the frontal lobe, the parietal lobe, occipital lobe, and the temporal lobe. No, it was just the cerebrum and the cerebellum. But Washington.edu did not correctly put all the information regarding Herophilus and Erasistratus working together in their timeline, or their beliefs on the neural system. Actually, you want to know something? There's some quotes from Source 2 that were taken out of context. You want to hear one?
Sure.
Okay. This one's from Galen. Erasistratus declares that there are two kinds of nerves, those of movement and those of sensation. These latter are hollow, and their origin is in the meninges. The others arise from the cerebrum and the cerebellum. Okay, he's wrong, but you can't hope for too much. On top of this, both Source 1 and 2 indicated that Erasistratus thought that nerves contained both veins and arteries, which were kind of like a rope, three braids of strands twined together, which is wrong. Now, Source 2 has a quote regarding this. Quote, among the nerves that issue from the brain and from the spinal marrow, the motor or sensory ones are called voluntary and tensor. The others are around the articulations or called ligaments. Oh, that had nothing to do with what I was talking about. Take that back. Yep.
Yep.
There are three dots at the end of this quote, which indicate that there must be more to that quote, which I would like to read. Eventually, I hope to one day read that, but I have not. I am not going to pretend to look up googly tits's yoo-hoos and find out whatever she may display down there. You know, googly tits is pretty frisky.
Yeah, no.
She like to save everything, too. She never forget whatever you say. Oh, man, I think I'm anthropomorphizing something.
What?
Anthropomorphizing Google. So, yeah, that's basically all I have for Erasistratus.
Oh, wow.
Didn't really contribute too much to neuroscience. He was more like a yes man for Herophilus. Had his own ideas on the function differing from Herophilus that we know of, We don't really know much of either one, so we don't know exactly what they agreed and disagreed upon. Much of this is postulation and speculation and taking the words of others other than the people that we're talking about. I can't wait for talking about the later sapiens of the Homo, because it will be hundreds of years later, in the Common Era, which will be a completely different section. We have completed section number one. Congratulations, fellow humans.
Yay!
Clap. Can you clap for me, Void? I want to pretend it's a crowd. Yes, yes, yes! Oh, 26 episodes later. Guess what? Next week, we're gonna start quizzes.
Oh, yay.
I'm gonna start quizzing you. First of all, we're gonna quiz you over section one, section two. I know section one is drugs, but I think, let me check. I think section two is over here, about 100 or so pages, 130 odd pages later. Where are we? Oh, acupuncture in drugs. Yes, we will have a quiz over acupuncture and drug, Void.
Oh, acupuncture and drugs sounds fun.
Yeah. Yeah, not recommended at the same time, nope. You got anything else to say?
Nah, that's really it.
You want to let everybody know that you're gonna be my VP and we're gonna rule the world together?
The president doesn't rule the world.
Shh. Don't tell them that. Some of them think that's true. The most great and powerful position is president of the United States. Regurgitation of none other than your nice propaganda and your stupid media bought and sold by corporations who have also bought and sold the whole government.
Yes, yes, I think everyone maybe knows that by now.
Yeah, goddammit. But I tell you what, we leave in peace. And here's another song by the guitar player of his Escape Code.
Yay!
Bye.